Today on Compassion Radio.
The young boy was, full of smiles already, but we gave this boy the ability to walk again. And when we put him in that walker, not only did we touch him, we touched the whole family. They were just, they couldn't fathom why, would an individual do so much for them and not expect anything in return. And that is, I'm a believer, that is showing Jesus.
Yeah.
You don't have to say a word to them. Just show them Jesus.
Welcome once again to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This is Frank Montenegro. Here in America, people with disabilities are a protected class, and rightly so. But did you know that in some other countries, the disabled are looked down upon and treated like second-class citizens, some finding themselves victims of assault or worse? Bram's guest today is Matthew Coley, and he heads up Conscience International's program of prosthesis and rehabilitation, which provides wheelchairs and restores limbs of war-wounded refugees. In fact, most of Matthew's patients are victims of the Syrian war. Here's the final part of that conversation.
People like you, Matthew, traveling with Jim around the world, you see the needs there, but you also have a keen sense of what the needs really are that are not spoken. There's so much that can't be communicated in words when you're in those short time frames when you're assessing things. Your expertise comes into play. Your experience is a huge factor, but also the spiritual discernment to see what could be in a place where it seems impossible or desperate or without hope, that God literally plants a seed of hope in there and an idea, a vision for what he intends to do for those who are suffering. And you can't shake it. You see the possibilities, not the limitations. Now, when you come back with that, you know exactly what you need. So putting people like you on the field, assessing these needs and doing the job and coming back to tell your stories to us helps us to find the people that God has already set up and prepared for the task ahead. So I would simply ask you, from what you see on the field now, what kind of people are you looking for that you know God can use right away on the mission field?
I tell you, a large need, especially in the medical field, is physical therapy. Also, too, if people are interested in counseling, there's a huge need for counseling. And you don't have to be a psychiatrist or psychologist. You can get your master's in counseling, and you can specialize. That is where the huge need is going to be for the future. If the war stops and it settles down, people are going to need post-traumatic stress. They're going to need counseling for post-traumatic stress disorder, just with all that they're enduring.
In fact, my wife just finished doing the first round of the training by the American Bible Society for Trauma Intervention Counseling. It's kind of an acute triage and treatment plan. So this is not about setting up counseling centers with soft couches and nice curtains and scheduling out people for counseling sessions over the next 2 years. Those things work in the environment and the culture where we are. But the kind of things you're talking about are literally sitting down with those who are broken, kind of like sitting with Job on the ash heap with the shards of pottery scraping at his sores and being with them in the worst times of their lives. That's not an easy place to be, but of course, it is literally being Jesus for those who need to see him love them. So I agree with you wholeheartedly that the need is going to keep growing, not diminishing, for those kind of needs too, as the shock starts to wear off. As the chronic stress continues to press on people and destroy families and cause cancer and break up families and all kinds of social consequences that pour out of war after 10 or 20 or 30 years. So I'll pray along with you about that one too. What other kinds of specialties, Matthew, are you seeing are necessary right now to help those who are suffering?
Also too, the opportunity to start a business and employ refugees. I have a business as missions type of mindset also. So if, someone is an entrepreneur and they think that they could go to a country, set up a business and employ persons, even people with disabilities. I know of a company in Africa in Nigeria, where all the employees are disabled. They build trike wheelchairs, and all the employees are personal. They have their own personal trike wheelchair, and they roll in to the production floor, sit down on the floor, and start working.
Wow.
And so if you're willing to work with someone that has a disability, maybe they're a little bit slower, and just take your time with them. But just look for, you know, something, a means where you could produce something that could sell in country or even sell it out of the country. There's a gentleman in Ankara, Turkey. He's been there for 30 years, and he builds custom wheelchairs. He's an American, builds custom wheelchairs, and distributes them all over the world.
Custom sounds pretty nice. We're talking with Matthew Coley, Program Director for Conscious International for Rehabilitation and for Prosthesis. And the needs are huge about that. We talked in the last segment about how war brought Matthew to the very center of the action through supporting the medical needs in Mosul from a field hospital in Erbil, Iraq, which is in the Kurdish territories. And because of that, God opened his heart in new ways for the scope of the world's need to reach those who are suffering the consequences of war and disease and famine. And so Jim Jennings, our good friend at Conscious International, took him on immediately and said, you're the guy for the job. So let's jump back into how that program is going. And you can tell me more about the cost of discipleship here, because you have followed Jesus, Matthew, in a unique way. So welcome back to Compassion Radio to talk more about what it's like to do the work.
Yes.
You have been busy in a number of countries, and you have taken a lot of personal risks. Can you tell me, first of all, has it been an easy road for you personally?
No, I will say there has been challenges. When I worked in Iraq in 2018, you have the difficulty of going through checkpoints to get to your camps and dealing with camp management to work within the camp. That was a struggle there. Just getting to the people that needed help. And then, of course, in Turkey, you have the language barrier. It was pretty amazing. I had a translator that translated from English to Turkish. Mm. Then he would use another translator. He was actually a refugee himself to translate from Turkish to Arabic. And it's pretty amazing, Bram, about this guy. He didn't know how to read or write, but he could speak Turkish and Arabic. And the way we would communicate is through WhatsApp. And the way we would identify patients is by pictures. So he would send me a list of pictures of people that needed help, and I would have to measure them through the picture of what type of device they would need. But the Lord prevailed in it. And we would bus refugees from camps. We would bring them in 20, 40 at a time to provide wheelchairs, that sort of thing to them. And I would have to pre-order everything that we were going to provide, because they would come in the night before and come to our location the next day. We would provide the devices to them, then they would go back. So the Lord always provided enough, always had enough to give something to everyone to help them with their disability.
And as far as operational security goes, when you go into these territories where the camps exist, and again, they're not public camps, you can't just go tour there. Some are run by international agencies, but most of them are just kind of private or ad hoc camps, from what I understand. But by the time you get there, how safe are you to do the work? I mean, or are you at risk of being attacked by different insurgent forces or having your material stolen at any given time? What's it like to actually do the work?
Yes, especially now where we operate on the east coast of Turkey. We're very close to the Syrian border. When we go down to Gaziantep for our program there, we always run a risk of running into the wrong, at a checkpoint. We can be questioned at any time for what we're doing. But the great thing is that we're doing it right. We've partnered with organizations that are in Turkey. They are established, and they have given us the authority to to operate and to help the refugees. But of course, operating in that part of the world is always a risk, but praise the Lord, for he's always protected my team and I and everything that we've done. And there have been times too where we've been at checkpoints and they said, you cannot pass. And we knew the Lord was talking to us, just telling us, okay, not today, but try again tomorrow. Come back tomorrow.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
This is Cher Nelson. This 75th year of broadcasting is very important and emotional for us. Important because God is opening new opportunities in new places for us to be able to share the compassion of Christ to the persecuted but triumphant church around the world, and to take God's word to people who have never heard or read. And emotional because we are challenged to preserve the amazing legacy of the ministry first Wilbur Nelson and then Norm left with us. Norm left us much sooner and more suddenly than any of us anticipated, and we have earnestly endeavored to continue the path that was laid down before us. But we're facing a difficult financial season, and we don't have the warm and trustworthy voice of Norm to tell you how much we need your support. But Wilbur always said, in times of financial need, ask the Lord and tell the people. And so that's what we're doing, asking the Lord to touch hearts and telling you, we need your partnership, not just your money, but your prayer-covered partnership giving, especially if you can join our vision team with a monthly pledge. But if you believe in our working together, we need your support however and whenever you can, and especially this month. Please, dear friends, will you help us?
To support Compassion Radio, call 800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. Or you can write P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And last but not least, you can text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And thank you so very much. Celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting, this is Compassion Radio.
On mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
There have been times too where we've been at checkpoints and they said, you cannot pass. And we knew the Lord was talking to us, just telling us, okay, not today, but try again tomorrow. Come back tomorrow. So, you know, when you're operating in a place like that, you do have to listen when the Lord is protecting you and telling you, okay, just stop today. But try again tomorrow.
I can imagine how frustrating it is to come that far and you've got all the devices ready, you prep for, and you're mentally set to do the work and to save people's futures. And then to be turned around, it could be immediately frustrating. But I understand what you're saying too about being sensitive to the fact that no may be God's big yes by providing for a future when there would be none if you pursued your own path.
And you do have to act cautiously and stay steady. You don't want to push too hard because, you know, if one thing goes wrong, you're done. You're out of the country and you're not coming back in. So you have to be smart in how you advance, how you progress, and how you help people. And if security or the local authorities are saying no, you just have to pull back and, like I said, try again another day.
How many people on a given trip would you be able to supply with what they needed, either prosthetics or wheelchairs?
Great thing about my program is that we are doing a clinic in Istanbul and in Gaziantep once a month. And what we do is on the first day of the clinic, we see past patients for if they're receiving a test fitting or if they're receiving their definitive. Definitive means it's their final device that they will wear until they grow out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the next day, we see new patients. And what we do is we go back to our headquarters, our fabrication lab in Diyarbakir, Turkey, to build the devices. It can take 2-3 weeks to get everything prepared. Then we start again the following month. And it's just a continuous cycle. And but also, too, we are looking to advance into go back to Iraq to do things there. We're getting ready to do a project this month where we're working with partner organizations, and they're going to perform 20-plus surgeries. And we're going to go in and cast and scan the patient after the surgery. And we'll take this cast and scans back to our lab in Diyarbakir, Turkey, and we'll build the devices. And when their healing is complete and the swelling has gone down in 2 months, we'll come back in December to give them their definitive device to wear to help them recover after surgery.
Interesting. I think about the vast majority of people you see, they've done basically field hospital quality work on them. They basically gave them a stump or something on their body is healed over, but it wasn't a planned surgery as much as it was just saving their lives. You're talking about getting into the operating room because something bigger is going on. What kind of issues are they dealing with in the operating room that many months or weeks after a major injury? What are they doing that's unique that makes it even more effective for you to do your work?
Yes, surprisingly, too, is a large majority of our patients are not missing their limb, but they have trauma to their limb where it needs correction. And that can actually be more difficult because you have to surgically align the patient to the best of your ability back up. Then they need a device to support that new alignment and to support their their desire to walk, to be mobile again.
Very good. Well, Matthew, on last program, we were discussing what it's like to be there and why we should even bother, because simply the Word of God tells us so. But often, emotionally for us, that's not enough. We have to see somebody in order to understand their need. And somehow, in perceiving their need, we'd rediscover our first love for Jesus and for others. And it was an emotional time for you just to talk about that a little bit. But I want to dig a little more into that for the benefit of our listeners right now. You have met people individually that without the opportunity God put in front of your face to say, go do this for me, they never would have had hope for a future of their own. So you know you've been God's hand and his tool and his willing disciple to go places that many others would not go. And that in itself is a kind of reward. But I'm certain that there are some stories in there of persons that you met personally that have moved you. So if you don't mind telling us a few stories of individuals that God touched and that healing hands helped heal and that are living a much better life now than they would have and that they know it would happen because Christians loved them.
Yes, we just recently helped a young boy and he really touched my heart. He was walking in the street of his hometown with his father, and a missile strike from a plane came down on the street, killed his father instantly, and it burned him from his neck to his feet, and it took off one of his legs, but he survived.
Wow.
And they immediately brought him to the border of Turkey to receive emergency treatment, surgery. And we met him through our clinic in Gaziantep. And I've never seen someone with so much joy, you know, especially enduring his circumstances. He's just full of life. He's, you know, he's aware of what happened. He lost his father. He's disabled. He's had multiple surgeries to deal with his burns on his body from, you know, his body from neck to toe. And we were able to provide a prosthetic device to him. And he was already joyous I was watching him before we put the device on him. But when we put the device on him, as soon as we put it on him, he didn't even hesitate. He just took off. He started walking, went into the waiting room, and the whole clinic stopped. They turned on the music overhead. They were celebrating. They were spraying the foam, the confetti. It was a celebration of what he had been through to where he is now. And he's a young man. We're going to follow him and try to help him succeed. But I was just encouraged how a young boy with who has faced so much could have so much joy in life and not dwelling on the past, always remembering the past, reflecting on it, but looking ahead to what is ahead. What can I do now to better my life, get my education, have a chance in the workforce, and have a family, have a life.
Now, Matthew, how old do you think that boy was when he lost his father?
He was 6 years old, and he's 8 years old now. And for 2 years, he's been receiving surgeries to help him recover from the burns, and we were just now able to provide a device to him. And so we look forward to seeing him grow, and we hope to follow him and just help him have a chance at a better life with losing so much.
That's an amazing story.
We also encountered another young boy. This is a great story, just how the Lord orchestrated everything that needed to happen. This young boy, we were able to put double orthotics on both of his legs. He has a disease called glass bone syndrome.
I've heard of
it. And it's brittle bone disease where if he falls, he can easily break any bone in his body. And we were able to provide orthotics to him to help him stand. But we knew he needed a walker, and we were not able to get him one in Turkey. He needed a special type of walker that would protect him. And I reached out to a partner organization here, and brand new, the walkers are $2,000.
Wow.
And I was like, no way we can afford that for one person. And the story touched them, and they were able to find us a used walker in good condition. And I was able to get a $2,000 walker for $200.
Yeah.
And so I had to pack it up and take it with me. So I transported it all the way from North Carolina to Istanbul, Turkey. And when the young boy was, you know, full of smiles already. But we gave this boy the ability to walk again. And when we put him in that walker, not only did we touch him, we touched the whole family. They were they couldn't fathom why, you know, would an individual do so much for them and not expect anything in return. And that is, you know, I'm a believer, that is showing Jesus.
Yeah.
You don't have to say a word to them. Just show them Jesus.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.